is Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Coming to you from Tantalk Radio Network Studio in glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. This half hour is brought to you by Larson & Larson. They are my intellectual property lawyers, and they should be yours. Well, today's really exciting. I have not just an author in the studio, I have a singer and songwriter. Rico Donovan is the author of Sunnyville, and his Audible version of his book just came out today.
That's right.
So it's so nice to welcome you to the program, Rico.
Thank you.
And Rico has brought his guitar, so we're in for a real treat today. That's yes. Right. You want to start us off with one song, and then we'll talk about your book?
Yeah, maybe we'll get us.
Let's do that. Let's hear some music here.
Okay. This is a song about Route 66 and slowing down a little bit. Everything's so fast nowadays. Everyone is living way too fast. How they gonna make this short life last? I was in the rat race for a while, and damned if I could run across a smile. Check out C11, she's 22 and gets her kicks when they spin 33 RPM records on our radio. So when you're 44 doing 55 on 66, them lucky sevens are somewhere down. Faster, but damn sure not better. And no one takes the time to write a letter. But I'm cruising along under a clear blue sky in my little bit of heaven before I die. Check out C11, she's 22 and gets her kicks when they spin 33 RPM records on our radio. So when you're 44 doing 55 on 66, them lucky sevens are somewhere down. Check out C11, she's 22 and gets her kicks when they spin 33 RPM records on our radio. So when you're 44 doing 55 on 66, them lucky sevens are somewhere down the sevens are somewhere down the road. Well, them lucky sevens are somewhere down the road.
Woo! Wow, Rico, thank you. That's fantastic. Well,
Makes me feel better.
It'll make everybody feel better. That's nice. Nice way to start off the program. Well, let's talk a little bit about your book because, you know, this is your first book, right? It's the first published one out there that's out there and today in audible version.
That's right.
Fantastic.
That's right. Thanks for imparting that news to me.
Yes. Rika didn't even realize that it had gone up on Amazon today. So today is the official release and I was so happy to listen to it. And, you know, this is an unusual audible book in that you did it yourself.
I did. I did it myself. And I started out with a kind of cavalier attitude that all I need to do was stand in front of a microphone and read. It's my book. It should be great. and a lot of steps learning along the way to make it really hold the listener's ear the way a writer would want to hold a reader's eye.
Yeah, well, you did a good job. Well, I think there's partly it does come from being a singer-songwriter. You can hear when you listen back to the flow of it, and you did a great job.
Thank you.
So tell us a little bit about Sunnyvale because you have set. You're from Nashville, right? And you live in Nashville, but you set the book here in.
Well, I set the book in Tampa.
So.
And I actually moved down here last March. Yeah. So now I'm a St. Petersburgian.
Okay, so you had been visiting Tampa area for a while, and then decided to set your book here.
Yeah. My mom had lived in Sun City Center at the time, so I can safely say that Sun City Center was the model for the setting. But we'll leave it at that. The characters, as the book states early on, the characters are fictitious. But of course,
completely fictitious because he does not want to get sued by anybody.
No, that's right.
He doesn't want to have to call upon Larson and Larson.
Larson and Larson, come on, help!
Help, because they people will do that. And I've had a few very famous writers who have been sued by.
I got to make a few phone calls after this.
By friends, actually. somebody who was sued by a friend who did not like being characterized as a drunken nymphomaniac and other things. So now, of course, this is set in a retirement community, and it covers a gamut of characters. But your main character, it's interesting how you develop this character who comes from France. Tell us a little bit about this story.
I think at the time when I started sketching this book, which would have been in 2005, 2006 time period, I didn't start writing it until 6 or 7 years later when I retired from music touring. But I had an idea, and it was sitting in my some scratch file in my laptop. But I had lived over in Europe for about 7 years, and I was coming back, and the first point of contact was Florida. So I had this experience with the French people, Europeans.
Like a culture shock?
Oh, big time. Yeah.
Do.
I'm still getting over it. It's a day-to-day thing, this culture shock coming back here. But my characters kind of spun out of that. I thought, wow. And oddly, I don't know, I never thought of this before. Maybe you're inspiring me, but maybe that's where the character came from. Maybe there's a bit of me kind of looking around me and going, oh, my God, strip malls and, you know.
Yes. One can imagine how somebody not familiar with the States, particularly if it's their first time visiting here and they arrive from some places in France where you don't have quite the same lifestyle.
Right.
And can be a big cultural shock.
Absolutely.
So your character, main character, describe her. Her name is Marion
Legrand.
Legrand. And she comes here because her sister is in Sunnyvale.
Right. And her sister is has kind of sent a very sort of ominous letter to her. Her
poignant.
Health is failing. Yeah. And they hadn't seen each other in years. And they were very close in age and very close together growing up. Miriam is the war bride. She married a U.S. soldier and moved to America when she was 16, 17. I don't remember which. But Marion, they've seen each other a few times over the years, but it's been a while. And
so she comes. She comes from France with her daughter. Goes on to meet a lot of interesting characters in Senegal.
She does, yeah. Yeah. This book, when I was drafting it, I gave it to a beta reader, a friend of mine, and her. I remember her words were, just don't introduce any more characters. So I think we've got just the right amount of characters. It is a character-driven book.
Very much so.
Yeah. And there's kind of a coterie of people, and it jumps between their stories, and they don't know each other when the book begins, but by the end they have reason to need each other, love each other, hate each other.
Yes, and you do go through the gamut of emotions there in this book, and some of it, of course, there's sad parts because, of course, there's death and life. But there's also a lot of humor and a lot of just fun stories in there.
Thank you. Yeah,
that's a great. I noticed that it was selected right by who was it selected by as a
Nashville Lifestyle
magazine, and that was that's always very good when you get selected there and noticed. They have good taste and. It was good.
Summer reading list pick, beach read.
This is the perfect place for it. So are you going around Florida now promoting the book? Are you going to be on tour?
I am.
It's nice. You have a guitar, so you can always drum up an audience here.
That's kind of the idea was I love going to book readings, and especially authors I love, but... we all have our dwindling attention spans these days, and the guitar... I just did an event up at the Villages. Of course, one has to hit the Villages with a book like this. And unfortunately, it was the day before the hurricane.
What a day.
So our attendance was a little bit dwindled, to say the least. But I will be back up to one has to go to the Villages with a book like this.
And now that you have the Audible version, that should be a big seller there.
Because absolutely.
A lot of people really enjoy, not just... seniors enjoy Audible books. It is a growing trend, and people just enjoy it. Primarily because so many people get stuck in traffic, I think. A lot of people don't want to listen to the news anymore.
Right.
And, so they're listening to Audible books, or hopefully Joy on Paper, to listen and to find out what Audible books they should get. Because I'm listening to more and more because I want to see the pattern and see... if I enjoy the narrator, and it's fun to listen to Audible books.
It was a lot of work going, as I said previously. I think when I wrote Sunnyvale, when I wrote Sunnyvale and then had two editors involved, I can't tell you how many times I went to bed thinking, it's done, that's it. That we definitely nailed it, and then the Audible version, I thought, well, this will be less of a process. It wasn't as many retakes, but it was way more than I thought. Uh-huh. Getting into it, I thought it would be pretty smooth, and technical glitches and other stuff to get to where I really want it to be, which is a great product for people to enjoy.
Well, why don't you sing us another song, and then we'll come back and talk about how you got your book published and the whole process of that. So,
Have
another song for us?
I sure do. I have one. This is a song called This Crooked Line. Like truckers pulling rigs in the middle of night, star-crossed lovers in the pale moonlight. It's wanderlust that led me in. Now I can only begin again. You lose yourself and fall asunder, drink the water and taste the wine. The flight of angels makes me wander, makes me walk this crooked line. The straight and narrow makes me cry. Get pushed around and you learn to fly to worlds beyond, but then I find I'm just traveling in my mind. You lose yourself and fall asunder, drink the water and taste the wine. The flight of angels makes me wander, makes me walk this crooked line. Take this broken cup, mend it and fill it up, and drink. Come and go like rain, soak the pleasure and bring the pain. It's wanderlust that led me in, now I can only learn all over again. You lose yourself and fall asunder, drink the water and taste the wine. The flight of angels makes me wander, makes me walk this crooked line. Makes me walk this crooked line. Makes me walk this crooked line.
Great, I love it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Now, Rico, you have a website. It's called Rico. I like that, Rico. I like at the end, RicoDonovan.com.
Yeah.
And you have your music on there and some more information about you. And now, you know, Sunnyvale I think it's a great little read. As you said, recommended for beach reading, but any time, I think when we have a book, that just sort of carries us along and tells these little stories. And it's a sort of about the life, retirement life, and sometimes the hopes and the dreams of what people expect is going to happen, and then what actually happens. But it's a nice little story.
Thank you. Yeah. I'd like to think that it's got a little bit of life and a little bit of death, and how they, I didn't know quite what it was about until it was wrapped up, and one of my editors said, I think you really wrote about death in a funny way, but I it was interesting to kind of see that in the rearview mirror in hindsight after finishing it. But in any event, I like to read books that when I close the last page, I feel like I've learned something, and if I don't write like that, why bother?
Well, you've succeeded, and I think it's not that it's so much about death as about living as well as you can and enjoying as much of it as you can.
Yeah.
And not wasting it. And I think that a lot of people will see just from the stories that, okay, well, I might be doing this, but I could be doing this. Mm-hmm. And find and be just a little bit more fulfilling in your life. And I think that also is part of the book.
Yeah. Thank you.
and I think it was it's nice that you got it published. And did that take you very long to get it, find a publisher?
I set up my own publishing had it distributed with Ingram.
And but you did work with an editor to really fine-tune it.
Two of them, yeah.
Yeah, that's always the best thing to do.
Absolutely. Yeah. I really can't say enough about that. I've been in writing groups and been in situations where I've read books that were not an editor was not called upon, and it really is glaringly obvious.
Yeah.
As I get older, it's more and more glaringly obvious.
Absolutely. That's one of the important things to do. And we have a lovely organization here, the Bay Area Professional Writers Guild, and they have a lot of editors available, you know, who are always willing to take on new clients. And it's a
Good.
Wonderful site.
I'll call on them for Son of
Bay Area Professional Writers Guild.
Okay.
And for professional writers, it's a wonderful organization to belong to. And for people who are working on their books, it's a wonderful organization to contact, because they will help find you an editor that will suit your needs. And as you said, that's so, so very important. So it's another thing to all you writers out there to be thinking about. And I just want to thank Rico for joining us today. It really, as I said, just fun to have somebody in the studio with a guitar. And I hope that you have a lot of fun going around the state. I'm sure you'll meet a lot of people who will relate to your book and will enjoy it. And that's part of the fun of being a writer, of getting out there and meeting your readers.
Thank you. Yeah.
Isn't it fun when you go in there and you meet the readers and they get to take selfies with you, and they
absolutely
they love it. They love meeting their writers. So
absolutely. It's why you write. You just hope that as many people on the other end can enjoy it and do enjoy it. And that's why you promote, although it's a tough thing.
Well, it's not easy. It's and all writers learn that nowadays, that you have to be out there promoting yourself. And so I'm so happy that I was able to invite you to the studio today. And
thanks for having me.
Okay. So we're off now. We're going to take a little break. And I have another very, very special mystery guest showing up in a little while. Thanks, Rico.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye for now.
Bye now.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at larsonpatentlaw.com.
Looking for a good book? Then get over to Miami Avenue Book Nook in Indian Rocks Beach. Check out the latest books from local authors like Angela Hunt, who wrote the book for the film Risen, or Bonsu Brandvik, whose books preserve the memories of the Bellevue Biltmore Hotel. What do you enjoy reading? A thriller? A romance? How about a mystery or a sci-fi? At the Book Nook, you'll find it all. Remember, one of the joys of life is to read. Located in Indian Rocks Beach, look for the blue building with the mermaid on the side, on the corner of Miami Avenue and 2nd Street, two blocks south of the post office. Open Tuesday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Saturday, noon to 4. And don't forget, while you're there, check out Miami Avenue's great collection of Florida wines, local art, and fantastic gifts. Miami Avenue Book Nook, where you will be inspired to read.
Our captain could have left, gone home to a place where kids are born on skates and hockey is religion. Instead, he stayed and told the world, this is a hockey town. You inspire these players. You affect the game. So when this team does amazing things, know this, it all starts with you. The Tampa Bay Lightning. Be the Thunder. Be the Thunder November 3rd. Lightning versus Bruins, 7:30 p.m. Tickets at TampaBayLightning.com.
Shop at a beach boutique with real style and the name brand you love. Make that two boutiques, poolside for women and poolside for men, both in the shops at Sand Key. Unique stores for unique shoppers. Labels like Tommy Bahama, Tory Richard, and Southern Tide. Maui Jim and Oakley sunglasses. And hard-to-find shoes like Olakai. Not your run-of-the-mill stores. Poolside for women and poolside for men. By Columbia Restaurant in the shops at Sand Key on Golf Boulevard. Stop in and look great.
From the Sunshine State, this is Tampa Bay's Tan Talk.
This is Patsy with a Z, and I am back with a very special Halloween guest, my favorite Halloween guest, because she is the author of the fantastic Witch City Mysteries, Carol J. Perry. Hi, Carol.
Hi, Patsy.
Oh, it's so good to have you back.
And in my month, my favorite time of year.
Well, of course, it has to be because you were born on Halloween Eve.
Yes, I was.
And so...
In where?
Where? In Salem. Where else? A perfect place, which is, of course, the setting for your fantastic series of books.
It is. And Salem is such an inexhaustible fund of information from so many periods, including what, when I was in school, we were ashamed of it, so it was called the Witchcraft Delusion. And then when Bewitched came along and made it cool, there's a statue of her there now, you know, in Salem, right near the City Hall.
Yeah, it wasn't there when I think I was there once when I was very little, but it's fantastic that you've done this series. They must be very happy with you in Salem.
Apparently they are, although oddly enough, or maybe it isn't so odd, maybe you can understand it, most of my sales are on the West Coast, California, Oregon, and Washington State.
No.
More than so Boston, funny. More than St. Petersburg. Isn't that funny?
Isn't that?
I think it's because they're sort of New Agey out there, and they like witches.
Ah, yeah, that's true.
I think.
And maybe they also like cats, because you have one of the most delightful cats.
Isn't he wonderful?
He is. Let's talk about him for a minute. His name is Orion. Now, not the constellation Orion. The nice Irish Orion.
Right. He once belonged to a witch who also had a wonderful name. Her name was Ariel Constellation. She came upon bad luck and is deceased.
that's an understatement.
Yeah, she died in the first page of the first book.
That's
but she owned this cat who was perhaps her familiar. And in Salem, a witch's cat, which is a familiar, is to be respected and maybe feared. Lee, my protagonist and heroine, and her Aunt Ibby. Aunt Ibby has as many fans as the cat does now, I think. Aunt Ibby is a retired librarian, very techie, and still a good-looking 60-something with red hair and an attitude.
Oh, does she have an attitude?
She does. And Orion, the cat, we don't know how old he is. Every once in a while, a reader will say, well, how old is Orion? What life is he on? I'll say, I don't know. I mean, he's a witch's cat. What do I know?
That's right. With seven lives, who knows? He could be.
Occasionally, Lee just calls him Cat. And my editor said, why did she call him Cat? And I said, I don't know. She just sometimes calls him Cat. But Cat, or Orion, has certain powers, which vary from book to book and time to time, and not provable, especially to Lee's boyfriend, who is, perhaps it's cliche, but he's the hunky cop.
Yeah, well, look, everybody loves the hunky cop. Yeah. I don't care how cliche he is. I like a hunky cop.
Why not? Pete Mondello, who is named after my son-in-law. And his daughters all think it's so funny because Pete is a Gloucester lobsterman and he's not a hunky cop, although he's good looking. But anyway, the cop, being as straight arrow as he can, and he doesn't find out about Lee's cat abilities or, in fact, Lee's own abilities, because Lee has discovered at the age of 31 that she is a scryer. That is, she can see things in reflective surfaces. Unbidden, usually unwanted, but quite helpful if you want to solve mysteries.
Oh, very helpful.
And Orion, I'm now, book four is ready, is done and gone, and is ready to come out in February. Book five.
They say January 31st.
I know they do.
They say that.
Yeah, I know. It says that.
Because we have to pre-order it.
Yeah. So there you go. Publishing is a strange and wonderful and mysterious adventure. And I turned in book five named Grave Errors on time. And I'm working on book six. And they have offered me another contract for three more books.
Wow.
And one of them, and I think this is special, one of them is to be a Christmas book. And I think that's kind of special because you see, you know, kind of top names from Kensington.
Uh-huh.
Doing Christmas books. So
yes.
I have to figure out how to kill somebody at Christmas, which seems kind of contradictory, but oh well.
But you will come up with it.
Because, I will do it.
Because you are such a clever writer. And I love all of your characters. I particularly love Aunt Ibby. Yeah, it was so clever of you to make her a librarian. Mm-hmm. So she's a font of knowledge.
Yes, absolutely.
And she's a techie. Yeah. She's not one of these old fuddy-duddy librarians. Nope. This woman can find anything mm-hmm. on the internet. And so it's fantastic.
She's such a handy device.
Oh, she is. I mean, the perfect. And you've developed her over the series.
They developed themselves. I had heard before I started to write fiction, I was definitely thought of myself as a nonfiction writer for many years. And I used to hear the fiction writers say, well, the characters talk to me and they write their own lines.
They take over.
They do. Some of them want their own books and you have to kind of slap them down and say, no, maybe someday, but meanwhile, play your part.
Well, you know, your Aunt Ibby reminds me very much of Carolyn Hart's mother-in-law, Laurel. Another character, sort of, they say, a side character. Yeah, excuse me. When they step in the page, they take over the scene. It doesn't matter. In the case of Carolyn Hart's books, Annie Darling is the protagonist and the heroine. But when her mother-in-law steps into a scene, the whole scene is about the mother-in-law.
Isn't it wonderful how that happens?
It is fantastic. And the same with you. Aunt Ibby comes on and, I mean, she is a focus of interest. She is just so interesting.
I had a red-haired Aunt Carrie who was not a techie but was a font of knowledge anyway. She actually had one of those huge dictionaries that's on its own.
On a stand?
Lectern.
Isn't it?
Oh, yeah. And,
well,
and
my parents won.
She won it.
They won a dictionary.
Yeah, Aunt Carrie
at a dance contest.
Yeah.
And they won the dictionary and the stand.
Yep.
In a dance contest.
I don't think she won a dance contest. But if she did, she didn't tell me that.
She might not have said that.
But she could dance.
It was one of those dance contests, I think, where you had the balloon between you or something. In those days where they...
And they did the marathon.
Yeah.
Oh, what fun.
And they lasted the longest.
Yeah. That's another... I might... No, I didn't be... No, no, she can't do that. Another one is Lee's sidekick, River North.
Oh, yeah.
And River reads the tarot and is also a witch. And River began as a peripheral character in book one. And then I found out how handy the tarot is because I can have River do foreshadowing by reading the cards. And that comes in handy, too, along with Aunt Ibby's. Their home library is... organized by the Dewey Decimal System.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
And I've been thinking desperately of doing that, but I don't know what to do because when I was in school, I was the assistant librarian, and I mean, that's what I did by the Dewey Decimal, so I still think in that term. And if I could just find, well, I think I would need two very...
Very, you need assistance.
I need because I have just too many. I mean, it's just overwhelming.
I know,
and
you can't
and,
part
and
with
the
them.
Thing is now, you know, just before 2 months, you know, I started Joy on Paper on St. Patrick's Day in 2015. And in January, oh, that's all right.
Do you have a cough button?
I have a cough button, but okay, she's
left,
coughing.
That's left head over off. From the writers' conference over the weekend.
You're talking a lot. What was I talking about?
About your library. That
oh, my
library.
Oh, I can't even. Yeah, I'm thinking about, you know, how I would ever get somebody to actually do it. But it's
find
fun.
A retired librarian.
No, I need somebody. I need two very strong people who can move the books all over the from one room to the other. In the house, you know, I've got so many shelves, so many areas.
Oh,
so one day when I'm really energetic and I can supervise, I'm going to do that because it's, you know, when you have thousands of books. And now with the program, I say, oh, what I was saying is now I get 5 books, 10 books, sometimes 10 books a week.
Oh.
And, you know, and I was going to start cutting them down, but now I can't because I keep getting more. And one of the wonderful things I'm now... sort of the official National Geographic go-to for book releases. So I'm getting these fantastically beautiful,
so beautiful
National Geographic books. And
you need more coffee tables.
Oh, I need more coffee tables because they are just amazing. And I'm going to have on next week one of the editors from National Geographic to talk about a fantastic new book that just came out. And I'll hold it up because we have a camera here. And this is a fantastic book. It's called Wild Beautiful Places, The Perfect Picture-Perfect Journeys Around the Globe. And I'm going to have the editor of this book on, and he's going to come and talk about how they got all these fantastic photos.
Oh, yes.
But I just love these books that the National Geographic is sending me,
I
appreciate
so.
It, and I love having them do that because they're just fantastic books.
I ordered the book that, from Tuesday's guest, Christina.
Oh, Christina Oles.
And I think Tom Selleck.
He would be
young again.
Yeah, if he could be young, he would have been the only actor who could have played Robin Olds.
Yep.
And I have another fantastic listener, Jim Lamb, who wrote a poem. And once he gives me permission, I want to read that poem on the air. He wrote a poem about Robin Olds.
Oh,
it's a
really?
Fantastic poem. And I'm not sure if I can do it justice or if I have to find somebody with a really
Tom
tremendous
voice.
voice to read it. But a beautiful poem. So that was a wonderful interview. And Christina's a fantastic person.
Oh, somebody that's so
shameless. And her father. Oh, amazing man. Mm-hmm. An amazing man.
I look forward to the book. I ordered it from Amazon, so I should get it pretty fast.
Yeah, it's a great book. And I'm just so always so thrilled to talk to her because she's doing some of the work of preserving his memory as I'm trying to do with my Forgotten F-105 Warrior Project, because these were the true heroes. And I don't know if you saw recently there, we are paying an absolute fortune to pilots, drone pilots, and it's sort of I'm not sure what all of these great pilots feel because they never got paid a fortune to be a pilot. They did it because of love for the country and love for flying.
Yeah.
And so it's a strange new world. And so anything we can do to honor these fantastic pilots who did so much for us. Through all the wars that we went
job.
Through.
Good job, Patsy, that you're doing that. I met some of your friends from Tarpon Springs this weekend at the
Oh, yes. Tell us about the Florida Writers Association.
So I sat with the Tarpon Springs group, and at the banquet, John Gilstrap was the keynote speaker, who also happens to be published by Kensington,
okay.
which is nice for me. And I sat with your friend Gino Bardi.
Oh, I love Gino.
I know.
I fell in the doorway. I
Laura
love that.
Laura Kennedy. Laura got an award for Surf Shop Sisters.
And she's coming on.
Yep. And unfortunately, David Edmonds, your friend, came down with a stomach thing, and they had to take him to the emergency room.
Oh, no.
But Maria was there to accept his awards.
Okay, that's fantastic.
Gorgeous Maria.
Oh,
and
he's fantastic,
so
and I love
it. To sit at a table where the winners had to keep jumping up and going up to get their awards.
Well, that's fantastic. Yeah. Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, it was a good conference. 550 people.
And wow!
I was surprised. I'd never been to one of theirs before, but I would do it again.
Well, good.
Yeah.
Good advertising for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is a nice group of people, and it's nice that so many of the award winners have been on my program or are booked to be on my program because. Not only I have so many of them coming up in the next few months, and then I have some really, really, also some very famous people. Next Tuesday, I have Lise Wheel, the legal analyst on Fox News, and she just wrote a book called The Candidate, which is an absolute perfect book for this time of the year.
Isn't that good?
And so
good release date for her.
Yeah, well, it's going to be fun to talk to her about her book. I know she's really. I got an email from her publicist and said, you know, she's just so proud of this book. She's had, you know, she's a New York Times bestselling author. But this book is particularly, I think perhaps it's a season or whatever it is. And she's just so excited to talk about this book. So I'm really looking forward to having her on Tuesday. And I hope everyone will mark the calendar and listen to this interview because it's going to be fun. She's just, I think she's a delightful person.
Yeah.
And And it's certainly the season for a book. And then anybody who you know, gets a book and reads it and wants to ask a question, you can send me an email, patsy.radio@gmail.com. And if it's a nice question and I like the question, maybe I'll invite you to, you know, call in and ask her yourself and get to talk to her, because it's going to be lots of fun to just to find out some of her opinions. And boy, oh boy, is she involved in,
in
this.
That's so timely.
Yeah.
You have to invite me back, though, on January 1st, January 31st, or
February 1st, for my sister's birthday.
Murder Go Round, which is involves a carousel horse, of course.
Of course.
Not that I didn't think about the cover when I thought of the whole concept, because
I'm wondering, is there going to be a little blurb on that book? Is this the book that's going to say, highly original and great fun?
I have.
A triumph of imagination with twists and turns to delight readers? Is that blurb, that beautiful blurb by Carolyn Hart, Mystery Writer of America, Grandmaster, going to be on that book?
It is on the cover.
Oh, it's on the cover.
Right.
Isn't that exciting?
The bottom of the horse.
Right so across. Beautiful. Oh, wow.
And they gave me the raised lettering, the embossed cover.
Oh, wow. You are going up in the world, I can tell you.
And I haven't signed this new contract. I'm going to see your sponsors, Larson and Larson, before I sign anything further. And
yes, you better.
Yeah, I will.
They're going to come on November 8th, and it's funny. I was talking to them, and I don't know if you realize, you've heard the story of the poor writer who wrote Psycho, and he signed. He got a contract. Now, of course, for him in those days, it was a lot of money, $750.
Ooh.
Woo! And he signed it, and he was so proud, he sold his book. And he was so proud. Little did he know, little did he realize that he signed away all his rights for anything. Now, do you know how much money Psycho has made?
I mean, that's a sad story.
It's the saddest thing is one day he was looking on eBay, and there was the book on sale for $750.
Oh, isn't that
the book, the first edition book?
Oh dear!
As much as he got paid for the entire thing. So that's why you do need a lawyer, and the more you go up in the world, the more you need a lawyer, because as if anybody remembers my interview with Clive Cussler, I did not ask him about his lawsuit, because I really like Clive, and I didn't want, let's say, I know one can say a lot of dirty words on the air nowadays, but I thought if I mentioned his $10 million lawsuit, which he lost at one point and then got back. But in the end, the lawyers made all the money. But, you know, when you lose a lawsuit like that, I thought, I'm not going to mention it on the air because, you know, who knew? It was early in the morning for him, and I thought he might not be in complete control, so I didn't mention it. But that is why you do. And the more you go up in the world, the more you need a good lawyer to make sure that all of your rights. But who knew? I mean, who would have ever imagined that there would be all of these ways in which to sell, you know, a story? And you never know.
Signed bad contracts years ago in the 80s and early 90s when I wrote middle grade novels, and I still have been trying to get my rights back. The last time I contacted them, I said, how much money do you want? And they still stonewall me.
Yeah, that's what they do. People have done this over and over, and sometimes no matter how. And this just happened. I just met an author who signed an unbelievably bad contract. I mean, so unbelievable that I was in shock. I was in absolute shock, because this person went through a third person, not dealing with an agent, not dealing with the publishing company. There was that person,
like a package,
put in between there.
Yeah,
and. I mean, it's horrendous. If he gets, I'm thinking this guy's not going to make $500 in all of his life off of this book, because everybody else has something off the top, And unfortunately, the middle person has the most. So, you know, it all of that just is lost. So, so do it's a good advice.
I will not do that again.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you so much for coming in. And as we said, Murder Go Round is going to be coming up out in the end of January or the beginning of February. We're not sure, but we're going to have the exact date, and I'm going to be promoting it like crazy. And you're going to be back on?
I hope so,
and what are you doing on Halloween this year?
Well, I have so many grandchildren and great-grandchildren who have to come and see me with their little costumes that I have to stay home on Halloween and give out candy and see all the little kids.
Well, that's the best thing to do.
But my husband will take me out for dinner the day before because that is my birthday. And that's what I'll do. I think I'll go to the Outback. Hearing me, Dan?
And you have a lot to celebrate.
I do. I do. Life is so fun.
Well, you really, it's fantastic that you've made it so, I mean, the minute I read your first book, I said, oh boy, I know she's on her way. And I'm just so happy that I've been able to follow it along and read one book after another. And wow, a contract for three more.
I know.
It's so exciting. It's thrilling.
I know. It is.
It's wonderful.
It's what I always wanted to be when I grew up.
Well, okay. And still keep that childlike quality of absolute joy in writing and telling a good story, because you have really just, well, you're blossoming all the time, I think. You know, it's fantastic.
Thank you. You are one of my greatest supporters and fans, and I love talking to you.
Well, I'm so glad, and I'm so glad that you're part of the Miami Avenue Book Nook.
Yep.
As I was telling some people, you know, with this election season, it's been very difficult to do any of the events that we had hoped to do. We couldn't plan. I mean, so many of our people are involved, either they're involved in the political system themselves, doing volunteer work or doing something or the other,
or they're sitting in a corner sucking this up.
I feel many of them are doing that, and I couldn't get commitments from anybody for anything. They what? And I said, okay, but we do have some exciting things coming up in January. And I will, you know, announce them then. And I think we have also a few parties coming up in December. But anyway, the Miami Avenue Book Nook is a wonderful place to go, and to we are showcasing local authors there. And as a matter of fact, Bev Malley expanded it. She's given us even more space, which is fantastic because we have now, I think, 35 writers, and it's just a wonderful place. And we're going to be doing a lot of promotion here now that the...
Oh, it's so interesting. And the artwork is lovely. She has local artists and beautiful, beautiful thing. And jewelry.
Oh,
and
yes.
And great wine.
Fantastic.
She's got me spoiled with the Florida wines.
I know. She has fantastic Florida wines. And they're they don't have any of this chemicals in it. So you can drink all you want. At least you don't get a headache at the end. And I don't know if you've done any of the evenings there.
I have not.
Well, you know, after your dinner at the Outback, you should go there and have a nice romantic dance with your husband, because the dance music is fantastic. And it's just so lovely. It's such a nice venue and such a wonderful place to go out in the evenings. And I was over there on Tuesday night, a couple Tuesday nights ago, and the karaoke was going crazy. I mean, she had a lineup of people who wanted to get up there and sing, and it was a wonderful, wonderful event.
If any of my children are listening, you know, they're laughing because one of them said she has a recurrent nightmare that I stand up and do karaoke.
Well, you have to invite them over to see Miami Avenue and surprise them and get up there.
No, why not?
It's fun. And Bev Malley is a wonderful hostess, and she's
so sweet. So warm. What, such a good person.
She is. Yeah. She is a fantastic person. And that's the Miami Avenue wine bar, music, and the arts. And we have our Miami Avenue Book Nook there. And as I said, it's expanded, and it's really thrilling to get to meet all of these wonderful people. And and see the books, you know, on the shelves. So that's part of the fun.
Oh, yeah. And once the season is over and people start to do book launches and talks, you could do book talks.
Yeah, we're going to have book talks.
Drink wine and do book talks.
We're going to have some poetry readings, and I'm mentioning that to Jim Lamb out there because I have to get Jim Lamb to share some of his poetry with us. Beautiful, beautiful thing. Works that he's done, and a few other surprises coming up. So anyway, I just want to thank everyone for listening in today. Do you know who I have on the November 17th?
No.
David Baldacci.
You didn't.
I do.
You know everybody.
I'm so thrilled. I was,
my goodness. Can I come sit in the corridor?
So I'm telling you, you have to mark your calendars for November 17th. Just a fantastic event for me. And just there's so many people coming up in the next few months. I've got some really exciting programs. And most important thing, of course, is always, and I just want to, you know, say go to my archive page at www.radio-joyonpaper.com, and you can listen to the interviews that I've had with some really very famous authors, some fantastic local authors, and of course many of the agents who are always willing to give advice to writers. So go to my archive page. And meanwhile, this is Patsy with a Z, and I'm wishing you all a great weekend. Remember, one of the joys of life is to see your words on paper or to hear them spoken on stage or screen, like in an audible book. So join me next Tuesday, and I will have Lise Wheel on. What can you say about that? That's fantastic. So remember, don't let anyone steal your joy. Treasure it and share it, and have a great weekend. Bye.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay.
ISIS digging in, phone scam crackdown. I'm Michael Toscano. Iraqi special forces have been probing a network of underground tunnels in a village near Mosul freed from ISIS control. And as the Iraqi army moves closer to Mosul, correspondent Michael Holmes says ISIS is digging in there for a nasty fight.
There's still a lot more to be done. Inside the city, preparations have been made. Suicide bombers, hundreds of them, we're told, have been brought into the city from Syria. And that those reports coming from residents inside.
Arrests underway today as federal prosecutors crack down on a telephone scam that's tricked at least 15,000 people into shelling out more than $300 million. Callers pose as tax or immigration agents.
These individuals demanded immediate payments from the people they called to avoid deportation, to avoid arrest, or to cover supposedly unpaid income taxes.
That's Assistant Attorney General Leslie Caldwell, who says the feds have indicted 61 people in the U.S. and abroad. I'm Michael Toscano. Amtrak will pay $265 million to settle claims related to the May 2015 derailment in Philadelphia that killed 8 people and injured more than 200. People will get their awards by June instead of going through years of legal wrangling. Winter is coming, and Evan Haining tells us the question of whether you're in for a snowy season or a sunny one depends on where you live.
Residents of the southern part of the country, from Los Angeles to Atlanta, should expect above-average temperatures and below-average precipitation. People in northern states, from Washington to the Midwest, should expect below-average temperatures and above-average precipitation. Forecasters expect most of the remaining U.S. to experience an average winter. Well, the weather won't bring much relief to millions of Californians.